I suppose the verse 29 is one of the very familiar verses in the Word of God, and even in this portion, where David said in answer to his brother, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" Now, of course, this chapter records for us one of the most well-known happenings in the life of David, when he went out against Goliath, the Philistine champion. And of course, with God's help, he defeated that champion and really delivered the Israelites from the Philistines on that occasion. And of course, I've no doubt today that even the youngest child in the gathering will be familiar with the record of this chapter. And as you read down the chapter, of course, you will read of the Philistines coming against Israel to do battle. And among their number was Goliath, this champion, as far as the Philistines were concerned. And he came and he defied the armies of Israel. And indeed, he laid down a challenge. And the challenge was to the people of Israel, the men of Israel, the army of Israel, to send out one of their number to fight against him. And Goliath said that if whoever the Israelites would choose would come out against him and defeat him, well then the Philistines, they would be the servants of Israel. But if Goliath defeated whoever they would send out, well then the people of Israel would be the servants of the Philistines. And Goliath, when he laid down the challenge, well, it is clear as you go down the chapter that there was no one really to take up the challenge until David came upon the scene. We began our reading in the verse 12, but in the previous verse, the verse 11, we read that when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And yet when David came upon the scene, even though he, because of his youth, wasn't yet part of the army, he was the one who was willing to take up the challenge of this Philistine champion. And he took up the challenge for the glory of God. He took up the challenge depending upon his God. And of course, he was victorious in the defeating of Goliath. And therefore, as a result, the Philistines. Of course, someday in the future, as far as David's day was concerned, the Lord Jesus would come according to the flesh. And he would go to the cross at Calvary. And in his cross work, he would bruise the head of the serpent. He would give himself as the great sacrifice. He would triumph over Satan and the powers of darkness. And by his cross work, he would deliver all who would trust in him for salvation. And David, of course, in this historical event, in what happened, there's also that foreshadowing of the cross work of Christ. Because, of course, David was a type and foreshadowing of the Savior. It's interesting in the next chapter, in chapter 18, in the verse 1, that after all this has happened in chapter 17, that it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that is, David had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Jonathan recognized in what David had done that God had been with him. And later on in the chapter 18, in the verses 7 and 8, we read of the woman of Israel, how they, in light of what had happened in the great victory that David had over Goliath and the Philistines, that in chapter 18, the verses 7 and 8, that the woman answered one another as they played. And they said, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. They recognized that what had happened was something most significant. And of course, in the next chapter again, in chapter 19, when Saul spoke of killing David, because of course he was jealous, his son Jonathan, in seeking to persuade his father not to harm David, in chapter 19, in the verses 4 to 6, he reminded Saul, that is Jonathan, reminded Saul that David had put his life in his hand. He had slew the Philistine, and the Lord had wrought a great salvation for all Israel. And that Saul had rejoiced when that had happened. And yet now, at this point, he was talking about taking the life of David. This morning, I want us just to consider some of the details surrounding David taking up this challenge to go out against Goliath the Philistine and the great victory that God gave to him. And I want to take the words of verse 29 of 1 Samuel 17 as our text, where David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" And especially those words, "Is there not a cause?" Because there's always the challenge. First of all, for you and I as God's people, the challenge to continue to labor in the cause of the gospel, the cause of Christ, our Savior. And as we consider David and even his words, "Is there not a cause?" I want you to think first of all about the fact that David was willing to take up the cause on this occasion. If you look back up to the verse 10 of 1 Samuel 17, we find the Philistine Goliath saying, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." And then in verse 11, as we've already pointed out, we read of the reaction of Saul and the army of Israel. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. They did not seem to be willing to take up the cause, to take up the challenge. If you look at verse 13, three of David's brothers are mentioned. The three eldest sons of Jesse, they went and they followed Saul to the battle. Their names are given there. They didn't seem, among all the others, willing to take up the cause and the challenge. In verse 15, we read of how David was back there in Bethlehem caring for his father's sheep. And then, of course, in verse 17, his father sent him to go to the camp, to go to his brethren, to go to see how they were doing, to go and bring some provision for them. And in verse 20, David rose up early in the morning, and he went in obedience to his father. He left the sheep with a keeper, and he went. And of course, he came to the battle, and he came just as again he would hear Goliath, the Philistine champion, coming and laying down his challenge. And you will find there in verse 22 how David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper. He ran to the army. He came and he saluted his brethren. And as he was talking with them in verse 23, well, Goliath comes up. And he speaks the same words as he had spoken back up in verse 10. "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." And others in the army began to speak there in verse 25. "Have ye seen this man that has come up?" And they began to speak of what the king would do to the man who would take up this challenge. And of course, it was at this point that David demonstrated his willingness to take up the cause. to take up the challenge. He could see in what was happening that the armies of God were being defied, that God himself was being defied by this Philistine champion. And in the verse 26, David spake to the men that stood by him. And he said, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel?" David's looking at it from this perspective. There's reproach upon Israel. "For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" David is making it clear that he is willing and ready to take up the cause for God's glory and depending upon God. He's willing to take up the challenge of the enemy of God and the enemy of his people. And his willingness is expressed in other parts of the chapter. If you go down to verse 32, where we finished our reading, when David was brought before Saul, in verse 32, David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Then down in verse 36, as he continued to speak with Saul, "Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." Again, David's expressing his willingness to take up the challenge, to go forward in the cause. Once again in verse 37, he continued to say, "The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." David's demonstrating his willingness to take up the cause. And of course, in David's willingness to take up the cause for God's glory, to take up the cause and the challenge against Goliath, therefore against the Philistines, the enemies of God, the enemies of his people, we see, of course, foreshadowed the willingness of the Lord Jesus to leave the glories of heaven and to come into this world as the Savior, to come into this world and to do battle with Satan and the powers of darkness, to go to the cross at Calvary, to give himself as the great sacrifice for sin, to finish the work that his Father sent him to do. We think of those words in Psalm 40, in the verse 8, "I delight to do thy will, O my God." The Lord Jesus came into this world willingly to do all that was needed to deliver his people from the bondage of Satan and sin. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 2, in the verses 6 to 8, he also wrote of the willingness of the Lord Jesus in coming into this world as the Savior. And he wrote in verse 6 of Philippians chapter 2 concerning the Lord Jesus, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." The Lord Jesus came into this world willingly. He lived his life upon this earth willingly. He went to the cross willingly. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, "Not my will, but thine be done." He laid down his life willingly, having shed his blood. He laid down his life for the cause of bringing glory to his Father, for the cause of delivering his people from the bondage of Satan and sin. the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 59 and the verse 16 wrote again, looking forward, of course, in his day concerning the Savior in Isaiah 59 and verse 16, and he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. Of course, the Lord Jesus was the only one who could take up the challenge and the cause of being the Savior, of being the sacrifice for sin. But this morning, for each of us who are saved, we have been delivered from the bondage of Satan and sin. And we, of course, are to be involved in the cause of Christ. We are soldiers of the Savior, soldiers of the cross. We're in a spiritual battle against Satan and the powers of darkness. And we, by our lives and by our service for the Lord, we are to use the words of David in 1 Samuel 17 and verse 29. Surely we have to say today and in our day, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause to live for? Is there not a cause to witness for? The cause of the gospel, the cause of Christ. We look around us in our own land, the nation. So many are opposed to God, his law, his word, the gospel. And we have to say, is there not a cause? A cause for us to be willing to continually be involved in? The Apostle Paul, again, when he was writing to the church at Philippi, and of course he was imprisoned for the cause of Christ and the cause of the gospel, he wrote there in Philippians 1, in the verse 17, he wrote, "But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel," the cause of the gospel. Even though he was imprisoned. In the book of Acts, chapter 21 and verse 13, we read of Paul responding to some of his friends who they were meaning well. They were trying to persuade him not to go up to Jerusalem because he would suffer there, even more again for the cause of Christ. And this is what he said in Acts 21 and 13. "What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." Can we honestly say that we have the same spirit as Paul? Oh, he was willing even to die for the cause of Christ. The hymn writer penned the words, "May I be willing, Lord, to bear daily my cross for thee, even thy cup of grief to share. Thou hast done all for me." Are we as the Lord's people willing to do all that we can to stand for the cause of Christ by our prayers, by our witness? Maybe you're not saved today, and yet you would attend the house of God, you would support the work of God in so many ways, and yet you're out of Christ. You know, you're on the side of those who are opposed to Christ. There's no middle ground. You're either for Christ or against him. And you can't really be for him unless you turn from sin and trust in him. Well, you need to be willing today to turn from your sin. Trust in Christ for salvation. But it brings us to a second thought back here in 1 Samuel 17. And in verse 29, when David said to his brother particularly, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" Not only are we seeing in this passage that David was willing to take up the cause and the challenge, but we see secondly that David faced opposition as he took up the cause, as he took up the challenge. He was responding in these words particularly to his own brother. His own brother who's mentioned in verse 28, and he became angry. really angry with the fact that David was rising to the challenge when everyone else was dismayed and afraid. And of course, he falsely accused David. But verse 28, Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou wert come down that thou mightest see the battle." Now, of course, it was not pride that caused David to come down or take up this challenge. It was not naughtiness in his heart that caused him to take up this challenge and the cause. Indeed, he had not been, as his brother is making out, careless regarding the sheep. He had left the keeper for the sheep. And in answer to his brother, David is saying here, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" David's facing opposition here as he rises to the challenge, to take up this challenge. He's facing opposition from his own brother. And of course, as you go down the chapter, there's maybe in a different way opposition from others, in the sense that Saul tells him he's not able. Down there in the verse 33, Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him." And if you come on down the chapter, of course, when he did go out against Goliath. Well, Goliath speaks in a way that shows opposition and seeks to, as it were, put David down. Because down in verse 43, the Philistine said unto David, "Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves?" Of course, David had no sword, he had no armor. The Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said in verse 44, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." There's this opposition the whole way. Opposition from David's brother. Saul saying, "Well, you're not able." And of course, Goliath seeking to make a mockery of David. And so he's facing opposition as he seeks to take up the cause. In fact, verse 42, the Philistine, when he saw David, he disdained him, is the way it is put there in verse 42. David faces opposition as he seeks to take up the challenge and take up the cause. And we think again of the Lord Jesus, whom David foreshadowed. When the Lord Jesus came into this world as the God-man, and when he went about his Father's business, and when he went about his public ministry, and even in his going to the cross, he faced opposition. There were those who didn't want to believe that he was the promised Messiah, the promised Savior. He faced opposition even from his own disciples. Remember in Matthew chapter 16, in verse 21, when the Lord Jesus began to speak to his disciples about the fact that he must go to Jerusalem, he must suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, he must be killed and of course be raised again on the third day. What does Peter do? And no doubt he meant well. He didn't want to see the Savior suffer, but he said in verse 22 of Matthew 16, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." And of course, the Lord Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. Thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." And of course, when the Lord Jesus did give himself as the great sacrifice for sin on the cross, you know, even his own disciples were so despondent. It was as if the cause of Christ and the gospel was finished. There were those, even as the Savior hung on the cross, of course, those who were opposed to him, they said, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross. He faced opposition the whole way. And again, we're reminded as the Lord's people, if we take up the challenge and if we involve ourselves as we should in the cause of Christ by our prayers, by our witness, by our lives, by our service, we're going to face opposition as we stand for God and his cause. We read in the scriptures, in this world ye shall have tribulation. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Just as Christ was opposed, so we can expect to be opposed. And again, I say to you today, if you're not saved, while you mightn't come up and oppose the preaching of the gospel, you're on the opposition side. You haven't turned from sin and trusted in Christ. There is a final thought here in 1 Samuel 17. Not only was David willing to take up the cause, not only was he opposed as he took up the cause, but he was victorious in the cause. As he spoke those words, is there not a cause? And as you continue down the chapter, it's obvious he was confident that God would give him a great victory. Though he went out, humanly speaking, against great odds, he went out with no armor. He went out against this giant, this champion of the Philistines. Yet as he went out depending upon the Lord, he was victorious in the cause. If you go down there to the verse 49, where David put his hand in the bag, and he took thence a stone, he slang it, he smote the Philistine in his forehead. The stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. Verse 50 says, so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. David prevailed, not in his own strength, but of course in God's strength. He was victorious in the cause that he was willing to be involved in. We think again of the Lord Jesus when he hung on that cross. And even on the day in which he arose from the dead, remember those two on the Emmaus Road, they were so despondent. Luke 24 and 21, they said, not knowing they were talking to the risen Savior, they said concerning the Savior, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. They thought the cause was lost because the Savior had died and had been buried. And yet, of course, by his cross work, he was victorious. His resurrection showed that in his cross work, he had been victorious over Satan and the powers of darkness. By his death, he destroyed him that had the power of death. That is the devil. And delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. On the cross he fulfilled the words of Genesis 3 and 15 that he would bruise the head of the serpent. And Paul, of course, writing to the church at Colossae, spoke of the Lord Jesus spoiling principalities and powers, triumphing over them by his cross. Christ is a victorious Savior. And he's able, of course, to save you from your sins today if you're not saved. If you will trust in him and his finished work. But for each of us who are saved, we've been saved from sin to live in the victory over sin and over the world. To be overcomers. And surely we have to say this morning, afresh to your own hearts, is there not a cause? and to continue standing up for the cause of Christ and the gospel and labouring in it. And today, you're either on the victory side because you're saved, or you're on the side of defeat because you're out of Christ. Get on the Lord's side today if you're not saved. And for each of us who are saved, may we labour and witness and pray in the cause of Christ and the gospel. May the Lord write his word upon our hearts this morning for his name's sake. Let us just bow in a word of prayer as we bring our service to